Joshua chapter 1, is where we'll begin. We want to look at the prayer life of Joshua. We kind of looked at what made him the man of prayer that he was, his time of service with Moses, his time as a soldier, him as a man of faith, a man of faithfulness. And so the Lord has placed him in a position of leadership over his people. And so we see in Joshua chapter 1, as it has been with, we look back of Abraham, we think of Isaac and Jacob, we think of Moses, that with the relationship that the Lord initiates, that the Lord is the one that reveals himself unto different individuals and seeks a relationship with them. And then as they respond, then the relationship grows deeper. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, in the land which I to give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so we see in this that the Lord gives him commands. The Lord promises blessing, promises that he would be with him, and he challenges him because God would be with him, to be strong and of a good courage, that he had much to do, great responsibilities, and the key was is that he would observe to do all according to all that was written in the law, that he would be faithful in following the Lord, and he would not be a man of fear, but would be a man of faith. And that's what we recognize, that we think of Abraham and others, that their relationship was strong because of the obedience that they had, that whatever the Lord said they would do, and their relationship grew deeper, that we can't expect a strong relationship with God if we're not obeying Him. And so we see that Lord initiates. We see again Joshua chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. "The Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When she come to the brink of the water, Jordan, he shall stand still in Jordan." And so we see God speaks. And we see Joshua falls. He calls the children of Israel to come here. He tells them what the Lord has said, and he directs them in that way. We see again Joshua chapter 5 that the Lord speaks to Joshua. And we find what had happened is, can you really think of the children of Israel, the generation that perished in the wilderness, how in so many ways they failed to fulfill their commitment as the people of God. Even in this, the fact that they failed to circumcise the next generation, that was something that was a given, something that was to happen after 8 days. It was a sign of the covenant between God and the children of Abraham. But they had neglected to do that, and so Joshua stepped forward and declared, this is what the Lord wants us to do, and so he made all the camp undergo this. And it's certainly not what you would expect to do when you first enter into enemy territory, but he realized that this reproach had to be rolled away from them, that they had to become a separated people, a people that were following the Lord, that there wasn't things that they just could expect God would overlook, that they had to make sure that they were in a place that God could bless them, God could go with them. And so then we see at the end of chapter 5, verse 13, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And we see in this that he comes face to face with the captain of the host of the Lord. We recognize it to be a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, that we recognize this one to be God, that he calls him to loose his shoe from off his foot. And we see the worship that Joshua has, the honor that he gives. And he's given direction. He's told exactly what to do in order to conquer Jericho. And it was tactics that, by the world standards, wouldn't make any sense. But the thing was, the Lord was going to give them the victory. And they weren't going to be able to get really any credit for it, that it was going to be the Lord that had done it. And so we see that he heeded the words of the captain of the Lord's host. He followed them to the letter. They marched around Jericho again and again, and finally on the last day after marching, they shouted with the trumpet, and the walls fell down, and they got a victory. And so they had a great victory, and things are going well, but we find, and it happens in our own life, that when we have a victory, usually that's when the devil likes to get in and distract us and get us kind of focusing on our own strength rather than the strength of the Lord. And we find what happened is that there was sin in the camp. Joshua was not aware of it. No one really was. That we find that he sent spies to view the country, and this people said, well, we only need a few to go up to Smite Ai. It's a small place, and we don't need to do that. And we find that they were they fled before the men of Ai. God does not seem to have been with them, and they're full of fear, and just the Lord was not with them. But we see Joshua's prayer. Verse 6, he says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around. Cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And we see kind of in this, sadly, it sounds more like one of the prayers of the generation that perished in the wilderness, that questioning God and saying, well, it would have been better to stay where we were, and kind of the fear coming in. And it's sort of the thought, well, why, Lord, why weren't you with us? And I don't understand. And when we see verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled also, and they have put even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And so we see in this that in many ways he kind of listened to men, not to the Lord. He didn't seek counsel from the Lord. He kind of figured, well, Lord gave us one victory and we can kind of handle it from here. But we see that they needed the dependence on the Lord. And they needed to be faithful as a people. They needed to be pure before the Lord. If God, they were the people of a holy God, and if they expected a holy God to be with them, then they needed to be a holy people. And we recognize that as well, that God wants to bless us, wants to be with us, but it's as we live a life that is pure and holy and honoring to Him. So we see Joshua 8 that God gives him a reassurance that He would give him Ai into their hand, and we see the Lord's faithfulness in it, that He gave victory, and it happened just as God said. And we see Joshua faithfulness in Joshua 8:35. It says, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. We see that he led the people in battle, but he also led the people in focusing upon the word of the Lord, teaching them the truth so that they would follow it. And in doing that, God would be with them. And so then we see Joshua 9. And if we want to look at it as in terms of Joshua's history, of there's only two real failures that we see in the book of Joshua, of Joshua specifically as a leader. And the first was the decision with Ai, and the second was this decision with the Gibeonites. And both of those mistakes were prayer mistakes. That prayer was not entered into to discern the will of God, and that's when the trouble came. It seems after this that he learned his lesson and it was not a problem anymore. But we see how the Gibeonites were deceitful. They tried to pretend to be from a long ways away when they were quite close to them. They asked to make a league with them. And they had this big story, and very convincing. We see verse 14, it says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And we see that amongst the men who were the leaders of the nation, and Joshua specifically, that they didn't ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't determine what the Lord's will was. They just leaned upon their own understanding, which we recognize we're not supposed to do. That we need to follow Him. We need to do as He asks of us. And if they would have sought counsel from the Lord would have showed them immediately that something was wrong. But yet they didn't do that, and they found out 3 days later the truth. But by then they'd made this deal, and they could not go back upon it. Essentially, it would seem that they made a vow unto the Lord that in that sense, and because of that, they could not break it. And so we see that it was not God's full plan. It was because of their lack of prayer that they got themselves into it. And that's what we want to recognize when we get into trouble so often. It can be because of a lack of prayer. We can question, well, God, where are you? And He can say, well, I'm over here where you're supposed to be, and you've wandered off on your own and got yourself into trouble. If you would have followed me, this wouldn't have happened. And so we want to learn from Joshua, realize how much we need the Lord, that things can make a lot of sense, but his thoughts are not like ours, and he sees the end from the beginning. He knows the truth. And so may we value and cherish our relationship with him, take full advantage of it, that we might have that discernment we need and wisdom, so that we would be effective servants of the Lord, effective leaders to those around us.